Welcome, my numbers. Tyson Banker with you here. Finally back at it after a little bit of a semi-break and just kind of getting into family stuff and doing a lot of different things over the last couple months. Definitely didn't plan on taking a 4 or 5 month break, but kind of easy to do when you have a great group like Bench Clear Media. I'm just watching Ty's content with Chasing Cardboard, which is amazing. Make sure you're checking that out if you're not. Just all the guys on the feed just doing a great job putting out great content for you guys. So it made it a little bit easier for me to slip back and just kind of take it all in and get ready for what's to come. And for me, you know, still staying to my roots. I want to get back into it with NFL stuff. It's been a crazy NFL season. It's been weird to say the least. I remember in the preseason with Ty and I talking about how crazy the AFC West race is going to be with the Raiders coming on strong in the year before and the Broncos and Russell Wilson. It's just going to be amazing. And it is anything but that. Russell Wilson was a big flop this year, as we all know, and we'll kind of get into that with the rookie report. But just been an incredible year of football. Chiefs and Eagles are going to be a fantastic Super Bowl. Should be a lot of fun. So I want to get this out to you guys while we're in that little two-week lull waiting for the Super Bowl. And just super excited to kind of go through the data with you. Got back into my roots of just the numbers and enjoying the values and checking out where things have gone. Seen a lot of growth in a couple guys that are in the Super Bowl, which you'd expect. And then all the guys have tanked completely at the bottom. I think we're definitely getting to that point now where not everybody's valuable anymore, which you kind of saw coming. That hot hobby is definitely kind of simmered down quite a bit as we expected. I do think that we are close to normal, what we can expect in the hobby kind of going forward for now. But definitely want to drive in the data with you. I'm excited. Thanks for still staying on Bench Clear Media. Hopefully checking this out and get kind of back into it. Definitely missed being a part of the channel, so we will get back into this. So first thing, definitely, as I kind of mentioned, I did want to kind of go on a little rant here, so bear with me. So I think the QB conversation in NFL is fascinating. I think it's an amazing thing to talk about. It's the thing about sports is fun. We always have different opinions. We have different viewpoints of what we saw and talent and who's good and who's not and why. And with Tom Brady retiring, I just wanted to kind of put out a quick little thing that situation for quarterback is everything. And I really do believe that. I think it's a very interesting discussion on the quarterback position. And I think some guys are dealt a great hand and take advantage of it. And I think some guys are dealt a bad hand and can't do much with it. And before I get into this, and so I don't get too much hate on this, Tom Brady is the greatest quarterback of all time. He is obviously the most winning quarterback. He's done everything asked of him. But at the same time, he was put in a great position to succeed. Just to kind of run through things with Tom, just in terms of all the arguments against Tom and the things he's done that really well. Obviously, he sat his rookie year. He got, you know, Drew Bledsoe got hurt year two. He came in, took that team all the way, won a Super Bowl. He's had amazing Super Bowls where they've always been tight. He's had a great kicker. Adam Vinatieri's won a couple for him. He's had a couple meltdowns that went his way. We all know the Matt Ryan Atlanta Falcon meltdown. We all know the Seattle Seahawks not running it with Marshawn Lynch meltdown. Gave him a couple wins there. He's played in one of the weaker divisions in the time, that 15 years that he was with the Patriots. AFC East was never much of a challenge for him. He usually didn't get challenged until, you know, Peyton Manning and the Colts and the AFC Championship and those type of games, which he did succeed. He did have Bill Belichick running one of the best defenses, probably the best defensive mind in the football era is Bill Belichick, in my opinion, what he's done with the Patriots on a consistent basis with that defense. So it kind of always left Tom in really good position to succeed, which he took advantage of, and you have to give him credit for that. You know, we don't have to, you know, I put on the notes, but we got Spygate, we got Deflategate, we got all those little weird things we could also talk about. But my point is not really to diminish what Tom's done. It's Tom has taken an awesome situation, and he cashed in big time. And you look around the league, and there's a lot of quarterbacks that aren't given that. You know, you looked at last year. So kind of go to – I'm going to jump down. I didn't put on the list, but let's just look at last year. Not this year, but the year before. Everybody was all Mac Jones. Nobody wanted Trevor Lawrence. Thought he was a bust. Trevor Lawrence had a terrible coach in Urban Meyer, terrible system. He was getting 60% more pressure. If you saw my breakdown that, he was getting 60% more pressure than what Mac Jones was getting. Everybody was just anointing Mac Jones as the quarterback of the class. one year, that's completely flipped. Mac Jones is basically worthless right now. And Trevor Lawrence got Doug Peterson, an actual coach that's been to a Super Bowl, won a Super Bowl, and he's making the best of him. We all knew Trevor Lawrence had the talent, and his situation quickly changed. And so, you know, you kind of go through a couple other guys. Like, think about like Patrick Mahomes. Would he be the same without Andy Reid? Andy Reid's one of the best offensive minded coaches that we've seen in the NFL. So would Patrick Mahomes is one of the most talented quarterbacks we've ever seen. So it's just a match made in heaven. Nothing to take away from Mahomes, but what if Mahomes was drafted by the Texans, or what if he was drafted by the Jets? Would we have the same results? We've seen what those teams have done with rookie quarterbacks. It hasn't been too good. Deshaun did okay after a while. Bill O'Brien definitely kind of got Deshaun Watson going. But the point is I just really believe situation's everything. You look at Kyler Murray. Their team was always kind of solid, but definitely coaching was an issue. Kyler Murray voiced the coaching as an issue, and it finally fell apart this year with him tearing his ACL, and now he's basically worthless. He didn't even make the top 20 for the first time. You got Troy Aikman, amazing roster, amazing team around him, won 3 Super Bowls with the Cowboys. You have Joe Montana. Look at that roster. Bill Walsh, one of the better coaches of all time as well in terms of the West Coast offense. Look what Shanahan has done with any QB in his system. Brock Purdy, Jimmy Garoppolo, Trey Lance. He even was good with his backups with like CJ Beathard. Like, it's just incredible that you know, what if we put Josh Allen on the 49ers? You know, the situation matters so much, the quarterback position, that when you have these arguments about which quarterback is the best, you got to kind of separate it to talent and opportunity. I really think that that's like a really big thing that part of the conversation people leave out. It's easy to sit there and say Tom Brady's the best because he's won the most. Absolutely. Do I think Tom Brady is the most talented quarterback of all time? Talented. No, I actually think Patrick Mahomes is. I think we're watching the most talented quarterback of all time. Mahomes has done things we've never seen before. He has the uncanny ability to put the ball anywhere he wants at any angle, with, you know, on the run, backpedaling, whatever he's got to do, he can do it. And that's why with him and Andy Reid, you can just see the magic happen because he has that kind of talent. But just food for thought. I'd love to hear a little bit about what you think in terms of about situations, everything. Just kind of struck me as, you know, I always hear the different rants and see the different threads on Facebook of people listing out why Brady's not the best. He's the GOAT. I mean, he's got all the rings. He has all the accomplishment. He's done everything with his situation, and we have to give him props for that. But you look at the, you know, the David Carrs who went to Texans that got sacked 100 times and finally just phased out. Maybe he would have been better if he went to a better situation. But anyway, I digress, but I still wanted to just make the point that situation's everything, and Tom did the best with his, and he was in a pretty dang good one. I would say the most impressive thing about Tom was the Tampa Bay win over Mahomes. That, right, to me, that's what sealed the deal for best of all time. If he would have lost that game, we might have a little bit of more push to come to shove in terms of the argument of best of all time. But as of now, we don't, and we move on. All right, so first off, just reviewing rookie report criteria. So prism-based PSA 10 is what I use. I go through, I grab everybody's prism. If they don't have a prism, so the older guys, you know, Brady, we use Bowman Chrome. Aaron Rodgers, we use Topps Chrome. I like to do prism over Topps Chrome, even though I know some people feel that Russell Wilson's is a Topps Chrome and different things like that. But I just stay with prism as much as I can to be a little bit consistent. I do have a pop report for every player. And I also did the market cap. So again, just review, market cap is I did the PSA 10 times the current value. So that's just how much people are paying in general, the PSA 10s are worth. Percent of gem for each card. I thought it was interesting because you can see over the years, some years are graded well, some years didn't. Then also I got the top 20 list instead of 25. And I did that because I want to go every player gets a page so we can really break it down. And I did that mostly just kind of help get a little bit better for my listeners in my podcast. I know that when I do some of these charts, I put the charts up and I skim through them. So I thought maybe just going one player per page and being able to really read the data of each player would be better for the podcast listeners as well. It could be a little bit more dual focused. So that's kind of where we're going. All right. So let's kind of some notables that did not make the top 20. So let's talk about Kyler Murray. I already mentioned him. He's down to $53 for his PSA 10. Obviously a lot of reasons. Team's in shambles, tore his ACL. We're not going to see him until he probably won't be ready for start of the season next year. So we're looking, you know, he's maybe going to get 3/4 of a season if lucky next year. And they still don't have a coach either, which is also really concerning. I know a lot of people were hoping, myself inclusive, were hoping for Sean Payton there to kind of get the magic going with Kyler. But right now they don't have any leads or direction they're going for coach yet, which is a little bit concerning. Jonathan Taylor didn't make the list. He's at 41. He's down 50%. And Kyler Murray, sorry, was down 60% from our last report. Tua at 45, down 50%. I thought it was a little bit interesting that Tua was down so much, especially with how he, I thought he played pretty well this year. Obviously, the injuries just kept stacking, so I definitely that's a concern for people. But Tyreek had one of the best seasons he's had with Tua, and Jalen Waddle also looked great. And Dolphins just kind of ran out of gas with injuries at the end, so they looked really promising in November, but things kind of faded fast on them. Davante Adams missed this time, $56, down 30%. Just a couple of notables. Mac Jones is down to 43, which is crazy. We remember his tops rookie, his first one's greater, we're going for over 300, and now his Prism's hitting 43. Justin Fields, 80. He barely missed. I think there's a lot of hype and excitement at what Justin Fields can do. They have a lot of, obviously, the number one draft pick now, and they have a lot of ability to build around him. So I think people are pretty happy with what he did in this last year, especially his running ability has been incredible. And Ja'Marr Chase at 53. I put him on there just simply because we have Justin Jefferson did make the list. We do have a couple of receivers on there, and I think Ja'Marr Chase is going to be one of the top receivers in the league going forward, as he has been. And so I think he will start to creep up as we get closer and closer to seeing him do on a consistent basis. Took Jefferson a couple years and to kind of really get a stable value. I think Chase, after one or two more years, he will definitely be there as well. So as we kick it off here, so we got number 20. So the 20th rookie in value was Julio Jones. So he still kind of made it. Basically, his pop is just so low. It is one reason. His population is 158. Value of $86, still down 39% from what it was. 13,588 market cap, which is super small compared to everybody else we're going to get to. So when you say, wow, I can't believe people are still paying for Julio, are they really? It's just kind of he's a Hall of Fame receiver, still playing, still was playing with Tampa Bay a little bit, trying a couple touchdown passes last year. But all in all, it's not a huge market cap for him, so he's not taking much value as a whole. The gem rate of his cards are 21%. So that's something to think about with him, is relatively low. We'll see a little bit lower, but 21% is definitely on the lower side. And we got 19, Justin Jefferson, 2020 Prism. He's at 98. He's up 15%. He's one of the few on this list that are up. Population 982. So we'll kind of, the thing you'll pay attention to is definitely the 2020 and on. I think 2019 and on actually is definitely something to be a little bit concerned with pop reports, because they're so high. A lot of graded cards in those. Herberts and the Burrows, Jeffersons, the Taylors, all those guys did have a lot of cards come in. So definitely you can see the print runs kind of getting a little bit higher for 2020, especially, even though it's a great class. Market cap for Justin Jefferson is 96,000. So you can see that's much higher than Julio, and his gem rate was 28%. Jefferson's he's kind of established himself as one of the best receivers in the league, if not the best. And so when it comes to how we think about him going forward, the only thing we're scared about is injury. If he can not be injured, if he can just keep doing what he's doing with Kirk Cousins and the Vikings can still be somewhat successful, he's going to stay at a pretty solid rate going forward, because he's just proven year in, year out, he's good. He's really good. He's fun to watch. One of my favorites. So definitely, I think Jefferson, and my point is kind of a hold, not really a buy or a sell. He's just going to kind of be right there as long as he stays healthy. Cooper Kupp, he still came in 18. 108 is his value right now. He's down 50%, down quite a bit. Obviously, kind of when I did my last report, that's coming off that Super Bowl high, that Super Bowl win. His population is only 606. Market cap is 65,000, so that's pretty solid for a market cap for him. A little bit under Jefferson, and a 55% gem rate. I think the thing with Kupp, obviously he got injured this year, but when he was playing, he was amazing. I think he still was a top 10 fantasy receiver, even with the games that he missed. And I was listening to give a little shout out to the Footballers podcast. They said that he had the best efficiency rate, which he had no bust games. Every game he played in, he produced. There was no games that he just didn't do very well. So that's something really kind of cool to think about Kupp. He's just amazingly consistent and a really good player. All right, number 17. So we're getting one of the interesting ones, Justin Herbert. So obviously they flopped in the playoffs. They lost the Jags. They definitely should have won that game. They had that game in hand, just fell apart at the end. He's up down to 134. He's down 55%. Populations for 4,914. Market cap 658,000. So you see all that money going to quarterbacks now. It's more than all those guys we just talked about combined easily. And a gem rate of 37%. Really low gem rate, really high pop. So if you think 37% gem rate, you're looking at, there's been over 10,000 cards of Herbert submitted, which is crazy to think about in terms of the Prism value. So that's a little bit that's hindering that 2020 class. But you'll see that Burrow is quite a bit ahead of Herbert, which is also an interesting discussion. Obviously, Burrow's done a ton more. Really close to beating the Chiefs again and being a second Super Bowl in a row, but definitely just kind of has that it factor we talked about with Burrow, that Herbert seems to be struggling, getting over that hump of winning some playoff games, which Burrow has done pretty well. But we'll get to that when we get to Burrow here. So at 16, we got Christian McCaffrey. He is at 135. He's up 20%. I think there's a pretty good reason for that. You see him finally get out of Carolina, gets to San Francisco, gets to a big market. He played at Stanford. That's his area. Just it's a perfect fit for him for value and for him to produce. I mean, San Fran's one of the best running offenses in the league. So I just think it all just perfect trade for him to make value within the hobby, which he has. His pops, 1,116, market cap of 150,660. Gym rate 48%. So pretty strong gym rate for his 2017 prisms. Remember that 2017 class is all silvers for the rookies. So there's no base and silver. They're all silvers. All right. Mar Jackson, definitely a tough year for him. Very interesting to see what happens in the offseason. Right now, he's kind of in a holding pattern with the Ravens and him in terms of coming to an agreement on a contract extension. So that's something we definitely have to watch. It's an organization you want to be a part of, just in the sense of good situation matters, as we talked about, because I think they put him in really good situations to succeed. The Ravens are a great organization. They tend to have a solid roster every year that he's always had a chance to compete. As we kind of expected, Lamar's running ability is a great, but also a curse in the sense that it can create more injuries, and a knee injury that he suffered is relatively significant. So it will be interesting to see how that plays out for him. I still concern about him as he gets older because his legs are so important. Can the passing be good enough to be a really efficient quarterback? I don't think it can be. But right now it's really dependent on if he stays the Ravens or not and how things go for him after this year. But anyway, his value is at 150, down 52%. Obviously, that's injury baked in. Especially pops who's 665. His is one of the worst pops. I remember when we did this rookie report, he has been really low in pop report for gym rate, and it's about the same. 12% of his prisms are PSA 10s. That is extremely low. Market cap at 99,750. That's pretty low for a quarterback. So if you believe in him bouncing back or coming back to form and being with the Ravens and just making a good run, it'd be a great buy time for him, in my opinion. Tyreek Hill comes in at 14. So, another receiver pops up. He's at 151. He's up 17%. I think some of that comes from, without Mahomes, he just did really good. And Mahomes did well without him as well. So he got into Miami, had one of his best seasons he's had. He's got pop 408. So it's a relatively rare card. 61,000 for market cap. So you see not a lot of money's going into it. But at 151, it's a really solid value for a PSA 10 rookie. His gym rate's at 40%. And so that's relatively strong compared to the ones we'll see. I think 20 and lower is ones that are pretty weak, but 40 and higher is pretty strong and relative to everybody else. Dak Prescott. So pretty much getting all the nicknames. And as a Cowboys fan, I've been reading them all just in terms of the playoff choke guy or just never can get it done. Too many turnovers, gets Kellen Moore, canned, or all those different things. You can say whatever you want to say about Dak. That's fine, but he's at 156. He is down 56%. So, all the football fans and hobby fans feel relatively the same. Population 1381, 215,000 market caps. He's got a pretty big market cap. 70% gym rate is extremely high. So his cards grade well from that set. The one thing I did want to mention about Herbert and the whole Kellen Moore thing, I know a lot of people have been concerned about Herbert getting Kellen Moore as his offensive coordinator. I actually think it'll be good for Herbert. I'm a little bit against the grain on that. I think some people are just kind of giving Kellen Moore kind of a raw end of the deal in the sense that he had a top five offense all around for the last 3 years that he was coordinator. So I don't see why he was necessarily the problem, but I think the message from Jerry Jones to Mike McCarthy is we got to win a Super Bowl or you're done. And so Mike McCarthy's like, all right, I'm going to take all this myself then and do the best I can and call the plays. So we'll see how that works out. I think it's probably going to be quite the train wreck as Cowboys usually are. So I'm used to that by now. But with Dak, he's down quite a bit. I don't see it going up unless he really makes a run and gets Super Bowl win. That's pretty much all that Dak can do now to raise his card values, get Super Bowl win. And their window's closing in a lot of ways. Defense is getting older. They're going to start losing coordinators again. He starts switching things over. New play caller. Zeke's on the decline, if not the bottom. So it'd be very interesting to see how they do next year. I'm not too optimistic, though. Jalen Hurts. I guess this is kind of crow time a bit. I'll kind of give it two ways. So one, I was not a believer in Jalen Hurts. I actually sold a lot of the good Jalen Hurts cards I had. I just didn't think he was a good enough passer to succeed. Now, take two, it comes into my idea of situation is everything. With situation being everything, he's in a perfect offense for him. He runs enough. They have a lot of play action, great O-line, great receivers, play action, gets a lot of one-on-ones, and he makes the throws when he needs to because he has a lot of really good windows to hit. And so he is a perfect example of taking advantage of the situation that he's in. I think he's done it like an amazing job. So big props, Jalen Hurts. I think that they are the slight favorites in the Super Bowl. I still kind of like the Chiefs in it myself. But if Jalen Hurts wins the Super Bowl, you're going to see that even go up a little bit more. He's only at 160 right now, but he is up 70% from preseason. So he has climbed, as he should. He's an MVP candidate, probably will win MVP. Population 2053, so pretty low pop compared to the other guys, but I think he wasn't sent in as much. And then market cap 328,480, and a gym rate of 34%. So pretty tough gym card for Hurts. But all in all, I think a Super Bowl win for him is going to get a nice bump on that as well. And then the weird one, Deshaun Watson still up here. He's 2017 Prism. His value is at 192. He's down 42%. So he's down 42% and still, you know, almost in the top 10. Population is 2594, which is pretty high for that set. He is one of the highest in that set, if not the highest. Market cap, almost half a million, 498,048. And gym rate is 62%, so his cards do pretty well. The reason I say it's just a surprise, I thought it'd drop a little bit more. I thought he'd be more in the 150 range. Just I didn't think he was too spectacular coming back. I thought a lot of people who thought he's going to come in and just be awesome were out to lunch. I think when you miss football for 2 years, you can't just jump in and have the speed of the game and have all those things perfectly in line. And I think that showed. I mean, he had some spurts there, was decent, but still the Browns weren't too solid with him. Like, there wasn't too much better with between him and Brissett. If that's what you're seeing, you really think about what the Browns gave up to get Watson, if it's going to be worth it. So we'll see if that was just getting the rust off at the end of the year, see if he comes back strong next year. Still think he's a bit high for my taste, but I definitely still would be selling if I had anything of Deshaun Watson in the 200, like, for $200, I would take that and run. So Trevor Lawrence, he made the list. Obviously, it's a little bit misleading in the sense that there's not many PSA 10s of his right now. And it's kind of also interesting is that the gym rate so far is 9%. So his cards are not grading well. So if you do get a good card of it that's nice and clean, a PSA 10, that might be kind of hold good value just because most of them aren't doing well in terms of grade. But right as of right now, the PSA 10 for Trevor Lawrence is going for 218, population of 136. So very small pop. You know, it's not, like I said, it's probably over 1,000 have been sent in. So only 136 have been good. So that's where you're looking at in terms of gym rate. So again, if you got a good Trevor Lawrence, send it in. It'll probably have a good chance to hold value if you can get that 10, just because it's been hard to get a 10. Market cap for him is only 29,648. That's just because there's very few of the population. He is definitely a guy that could continue to take off. We saw, you know, he won a playoff game already. He beat Herbert, had a nice comeback. Chiefs were a tough matchup. They hung in there a little bit. Just they kind of only hung in there because they got Mahomes hurt a little bit, but at the same time, still saw a lot of really good things from Lawrence this year. Definitely, you know, Christian Kirk and a couple of their signings worked out a lot better than people thought. But I do think Lawrence is a guy that's still a long-term buy/hold. Derrick Henry, number 9 in our list, which is nice to see a running back this high. Still one of the better running backs in the league, just based on what he can do. But the Titans definitely had to rely on him more once they kind of lost the quarterback. Tannehill couldn't stay healthy this year, so they definitely were in a tough spot where the only thing they could do was run because the rookie was not ready. But right now, Derrick Henry value is 232, down 33%, but still a solid value. Population 281, that's where he kind of keeps his value because there's not very many of them. Market cap for him is 65,000, and his gym rate's 28%. So the Derrick Henrys are not grading as well in that set, and that's going to keep the population relatively low, which will keep his value because he will be a Hall of Famer if he even stopped today. But I still think that Derrick Henry will keep going for a couple more years with his size and strength and just his workout routines. He'll be around for, I'd say, at least 2-3 more years of being very productive. Number 8, Joe Burrow. What do they call him? Broadway Joe now. They're trying to give him that little Joe Namath vibe, just his little flair. But you can see, again, his population super high at 5,669, but he is holding 235. For his value, down 15%, but still pretty solid. Market cap for him, market cap is 1.3 million, gym rate of 47%. So he's kind of better across the board in terms of Herbert for gym rate at value, and his pop's higher than Herbert, and all that stuff comes together. Again, I don't think he's, 1.5 times better than Herbert, but at the end of the day, he has shown it. He has done it in the playoffs. He has a lot more weapons than Herbert around him. I just think that it's a little bit just what we're seeing today, but I do think that Herbert still has time. I still think it's going to be a nice little battle between these two as they go forward. But I still would take, I would take Herbert right now at the price compared to Burrow, just because it's so far apart. I'm not saying that Herbert's better than Burrow. I just think that my point is, I think Herbert's a bit too cheap. All right. Matthew Stafford still hanging up here at number 7. Getting along for him is the population so low. He's at 248, still down 62%. So definitely, you know, coming off that Super Bowl high. And this year the Rams were completely awful and he was injured as well as Kupp was injured. That's why his price up, you know, 62%. Again, market cap for that's 43,152, and his gym rate's at 36%. But you know, that was a really hot card. One of the Rams in the Super Bowl did come down. I still think it's a, you know, good card to have. I still think 248 is pretty respectable because Stafford will be a Hall of Famer, and he has a Super Bowl, so he kind of has that, you know, notch in his belt. And I do think the Rams can return. I do think they still have a lot of pieces around. I think they just had a tough time with injuries and getting things in line. I do think then a good offseason for them, they could be back and competing in that division. So just I would definitely hold slash potentially buy for Stafford right now while he's, you know, nobody's thinking about him. Travis Kelce, really high tight end ranking here. Number 6, obviously a little bit of the Super Bowl high right now. He's played amazing in the playoffs. He's been obviously number one target, just really establishing himself as one of the top tight ends of all time. Just kind of chatting with Ty on the side. I do think it's kind of him and Tony Gonzalez for me. I do love Gates, but I think it's kind of those two guys for me. But I think Travis Kelce is just, he's been amazingly consistent, which has been, and he's really fun to watch. But 275 is his value. He's up 80%, so almost doubled in value from the beginning of the season. His population's at 370, market cap just under 100,000, and 45% gym rate on his Prism rookie. I know some prefer the Topps Chrome rookie, so just whichever one you like, but that's kind of where his Prism is sitting. And then Russell Wilson, probably could do a whole show on Russell Wilson and kind of the whole collapse. That's one of the, I would just tell you from a, you know, lifelong football fan, probably one of the craziest collapses I've seen in my time watching football. Just someone being so good, going to a team, getting a bunch of money, team depleting its all its draft picks and resources, and getting absolute nothing for it. It's hard to watch. I've watched so many of his games that were just on. You know, you guys have seen the primetime games where guys just running free down the sideline. He just doesn't even look like it. Just weird stuff that just couldn't see coming. And now they've depleted more resources to get Sean Payton. Will that be the answer? We'll see. I don't know. But I just, it's been really hard to watch with Russell Wilson. So him still being at 290, I was a little bit surprised when I was doing this. I thought he would have been way further down because it's been such a miserable year. But he's at 290 still, down 42%. Pops at 628. Mark cap about 181,000 and a 55% gym rate on his Prism. Again, he's got the nice Topps Chrome rookie as well. Some people prefer. So the Prism's just kind of a standard just putting in for now. What do you guys think? Just let me know in the comments or in Twitter. Will Russell Wilson return because of Sean Payton, or is it going to be just the same old story and Denver's going to be in trouble for the next 10 years? What do you think? All right. Getting to the top five now. So up to Josh Allen. Josh Allen, 2018 Prism, values at 406, down 44%, so down quite a bit. Population 1809, market cap 734,000, so he's got a strong market cap, so I think it's just actually probably to the realistic value right now. Gym rate 36% for Josh Allen. You know, it's a tough playoff exit for Josh Allen. They had a really tough game against the Bengals. He didn't play very well. I do think we have to give a little bit of the human element to that. Obviously, we all are aware of the DeMar Hamlin situation. And that takes a toll on teams, and I can't imagine that to take a toll on Josh Allen personally as well. I think when something like that happens where you see a close friend, close teammate die, like you can only imagine that the actual game itself is not as, you know, in focus as you would be. I think the Bills were amazing all year. I'm a little bit concerned with the Diggs stuff. Seemed like Diggs was pretty unhappy, probably just usage, just kind of having that little temper tantrum that receivers can have at times. But I still think Josh Allen's a great player. I still think he's going to be in it. I hope he gets a Super Bowl at some point. But I do think that people are overreacting on the chokes in playoffs and doing all that stuff. I think the game's a lot harder than people realize. And I do think that human element this year was very difficult for that team, especially. But I still think Josh Allen will be back. I'm a believer in him as a long-term hold slash buy. Aaron Rodgers, 2005 Topps Chrome, value at 1649, down 40%. He's dropped a little bit tough year for the Packers and missed the playoffs barely by a game. Pretty tough losing to the Lions last game of the season. All they do is win to get in, but it didn't go their way. Market cap for him is still $413,900, and Jim rated 19%. So his top Chrome's cards of him don't grade well. So a 10 is very rare. So that will always keep the value for Aaron Rodgers. He has a Super Bowl. He's a Hall of Famer, one of the better quarterbacks of all time. There is a little bit of rumors brewing about him going back to Las Vegas to Devontae Adams and Josh McDaniels. If that happens, I think it actually might be a little bit of a kind of a bump just in the excitement. The Raiders have a really strong following as well, and seems like they have a lot of good pieces around that he could make a pretty good run with that team. Tough division with the Chiefs and the Chargers, and if Peyton can get the Broncos going. But at the same time, I think he had a really tough time in Green Bay this year until he got Christian Watson going. He didn't have much receivers either. And number two, Patrick Mahomes, kind of climbing back a bit to his form. 2017 Prism, value $3,750, down 7%. I think that's just because he was still one of the high times, coming down from 4,000. Population is 251, extremely low. Market cap still almost $1,941,000. Gym rate 19% on that card. That card was a tough card. I know there's quite a few of them that have a little factory defect. I have one of those with a little dimple on the side, right on his left, on his right shoulder, but on the left of the card. So a very common thing with that to make it a tough grade. But, like I said, I still feel that he's the most talented quarterback I've ever seen. I think he is an amazing player. It really was a 360 or 180, should be 180 turn from his kind of collapse against the Bengals 2 years ago when Joe Burrow beat him to toughing it out with a bad ankle and beating him. Just definitely a different vibe. I thought he just played so bad 2 years ago, just making bad throws, trying to make something out of nothing too many times, and just really seemed kind of rattled. And this year, just on a half good ankle, he played incredible. And I just think that that's something that's really going to carry him in terms of his career. Those kind of stories are the ones you want to fall back on. So Mahomes definitely on the rise. If he gets another Super Bowl, they end up beating the Eagles, I think he will continue to climb quite high. And number one, as we all expected in news, not a shocker here, Tom Brady, 2000 Bowman Chrome. Except it's dead. The last sale was 10K. This car doesn't get sell a lot, so much. Down 19% from the previous sale. So kind of take that with a grain of salt, however you want. Population's 1135. Market cap over 11 million. So obviously he has all the money in his cap. And 26% gym rate on that card. Again, I already kind of went into extensively my thoughts on Tom Brady situations, everything. Again, he is the greatest of all time. His card will be the top for the foreseeable future. And I think that with his retirement, it's, it will actually have that career chapter finally closed. I think it was a rough year for him. Obviously, Tampa Bay was very weak, limped in the playoffs because they're in such a weak division. You can kind of see it get harder for him. Just the deep throws weren't as easy. The open throws weren't as easy. Throwing a little more picks than usual. Offense was very dysfunctional in a lot of different ways. But anyways, that's the only thing it's tough about when you keep playing it out as long as he did. It probably was going to end somewhat ugly, which I'd say it did. But at the same time, it's still one of the best career that we've ever seen. And that was why his cards will be worth a lot of money. All right. So, just in closing, again, just want to thanks guys for checking out my show and checking out my content. Again, I do plan to kind of keep things rolling here a little more consistent basis. Definitely staying with football and baseball. I'm going to kind of try to turn in some more Bowman stuff for you guys. It's something that I really like to follow. I really like to get in breaks for Bowman and collect Bowman, especially prospect stuff. I think that's fun. Still trying to wrap my head around the basketball thing. I know I kind of said some things in August. I want to get to that for the rookie reports. Definitely need Ty's help for that more since he's definitely more of a basketball guy. But if you're looking for me, you can find me at numbers_behind on Instagram. I'm just behind the numbers pod. Still trying to get used to my Instagram usage, but overall Twitter is where I do like to kind of interact and check out different card stuff. So again, thanks for hanging out with me and checking out the rookie report. Feel free to leave comments or get at me on Twitter.